The following interview was conducted with Carrie Devini on behalf of the Madison County Oral History Project that is part of Madison County Historical, the online encyclopedia and digital archive for Madison County, Illinois. The interview took place on Thursday, October 11th, 2018 at Evermore Gallery in Edwardsville, Illinois. The interviewer is Tyler Swarner from Southern Illinois University Edwardsville graduate MA program. So first off, I would like to start kind of talking about your childhood a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay.
I moved here probably about 25 years ago with a Beloit College football player. That didn't work out. My father's was a graphic designer back in the day of cut and paste, you know, or no computers. And when I started tattooing, we didn't have a computer in the shop, you know. So a lot of what trying to transition into modern technology has been hard for me because I want to cut and paste everything, you know, because I learned that way from my dad. Rockford was pretty boring. It was a small town at the time, so we found stuff to do and got in a lot of trouble. I was a bad kid. Moved out of my house as soon as I was 18 and came to St. Louis.
So can you tell me a little bit more about your dad or both your parents?
My dad could talk to anybody to the point where it was obnoxious, and I think of that, I think I gained that from him, you know. My mom is isolated a whole lot. She wasn't really present a whole lot, and I've gained a little bit of that from her as well. So, you know, I had an okay childhood. I was just a bad kid. I hung out with, you know, I was a gangbanger, you know. I hung out with, you know, rough crowd. But it got me where I am today, and I appreciate all the shit I went through to get here today.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So how did you get into, I guess, besides your father, like art and drawing? Like, what? How did that come about?
Oh, God. I don't know. It was just probably my dad mostly. I mean, he had a skill, like Thomas here can. He can just draw right out of his head. I've got to see something, you know. I've got to have reference. So I think that was a huge influence. The whole tattoo world, though. I went to Chicago and went to a tattoo shop to get my eyebrow pierced. Super nerdy, right? And there was a female tattoo artist there. And I had never thought of tattoos as art. I always thought it was like, oh, you get a name, you get a mom heart, you know, stuff like that. But when I saw the art she was doing, I was like, that's what I want to do. And being a female in the industry, especially back then, was way harder to get in, you know, because everybody mocked. Nobody wanted a female tattoo artist, you know. That was the hard part, is getting in. But when I saw her and saw what she was doing, that was my goal. And then I eventually ended up getting tattooed by her. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. So I know you mentioned you briefly went to SIUC for a while.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me about that experience a little bit?
Oh, God.
What
partied,
you were doing?
I partied my ass off way too much. Yeah, so I didn't really... you know, I did have art classes there, but I was just a stubborn kid, you know, and it was the artist was the grass is green, the sky is blue, and I'm like, no way. So we had this art show that we had to do, and I was not allowed to be in the art show because of the subject matter that I was drawing. It was bondage type art, which is weird. I mean, it's not something I'm into at all. I just thought the pictures were very interesting, you know, and I wanted to recreate those in charcoal. So I was banned from the art show. So a lot of it was me playing the victim role, you know, and so when I came back and I was supposed to go back yet another semester, I bawled my eyes out. And I was like, I just can't do it. I don't want to go back. Just please don't make me. So then I did community college for a little bit in Rockford, and then for me as an individual, it was more important for me to be street smart rather than you know, college smart.
Yeah.
So, and that got me where I am today too. So
definitely. So you talked a little bit about, you know, coming down from St. Louis and how you've been here for so long. what made your decision to come to St. Louis? Like, what were some of the things that made you think St. Louis is the place where I want to go?
I had to leave. Mm-hmm. I guess I really can't tell you the reason why.
That's fine.
So, the guy I was dating was moving here. It looked like an easy out to where the position that I was in. So when I first came here, I just, oh my gosh, I thought St. Louis was like the biggest city ever. It was so overwhelming. I'm like, how can I do this? This is crazy. And his parents lived in Chesterfield, you know, which is a whole different part of St. Louis, you know. Interesting, the first time like we went out, or, you know, they were showing me, you know, the sights and stuff. They took me to the Loop because that was like, you know, where I would fit in. And his dad had a open Heineken. I mean, we're talking like in the morning, just driving around, and he's like, welcome to St. Louis. And I was like, oh my gosh. Part of me is like, this is great, but not good for me. So yeah, I just thought it was the right move, the right direction, and it ended up being the right move. So yeah,
definitely.
It was an easy out and I took it.
Yeah, definitely. So when you moved here, what were some of the first job you had, or what did you do once you moved here?
I've always been in service industry, okay. And I've always worked my way to the top of the food chain. So I always worked fine dining, and that is a huge part of my life. Oh my gosh, Anthony Bourdain's suicide is still messing me up. So I was gonna go to culinary school, and I'm glad I didn't, because most chefs I know are just so tired, so burnt out, and just not happy. Mm-hmm. And so now I love to cook as a hobby, and I love my job, you know? So I think I made the right choice, for sure. And then there was a part in there where I was going to be a DJ. Come on.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
No, it was just kind of like a thought in my head. I guess it was just mostly the music I was listening to at the time, mm-hmm. you know? So, an opportunity happened that got me into a tattoo shop. So,
oh really? Can you tell me about that opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. I'd been begging and begging and really super nerdy. You know, like now being in the industry, I see how kind of nerdy it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought in my drawings and stuff like that, and it was just cheesy stuff that I had traced. You know, and. So basically it's work ethic, and that's what we look for in the tattoo industry, because artists are flaky as can be. And I'm sure that you've dealt with some, like I've thrown art shows and it's seriously, it's like 5 minutes to the opening of the art show, they're getting their artwork on the wall, if they get their artwork on the wall. So I had an opportunity to work the front at a tattoo shop. It took me about 2 years until they started training me. And I had to prove myself, you know. They saw that I had a strong work ethic, and that's what got me in the door, basically.
What tattoo shop was that?
That was Iron Age.
Iron Age, okay.
Yeah. And that was when it was above Vintage Vinyl.
Oh, really?
So I worked there, and then I worked a little bit at the newer location as well.
Oh, okay. Did you enjoy your experience at Iron Age?
It was tough, especially being a girl. I never let them see me cry. I would always go in the bathroom. I'd never been talked to like that by anybody, which is crazy considering how I grew up. The things that they would say to me, here's an example. I was dating one of their friends, and they said that's the best thing about female shop fronts is they'll sleep with all your friends. So at that time, I was living in the Loop like an idiot. I walked home, right? Mm-hmm. Like to prove myself, you know, I'm like, I'm out of here. I didn't let anybody know I was leaving. That was the time of caller ID. So Iron Age pops up on caller ID. They're like, where are you? I'm like, I'm at, you know, and I was just like, I couldn't confront them, you know. I'm like, I went home. They're like, well, can you come back? And I walked back. I never said anything about it, but that was like me trying to be tough, and mm-hmm. which, yeah, I didn't prove anything. So basically I just kept my mouth shut and just did what I was told. And my apprenticeship was ridiculous. I mean, it was very old school. Mm-hmm. Like, when my boss was out of town, I had to take care of his mom. I had to walk his dogs. Just ridiculous stuff like mm-hmm. that. It still goes on a little bit nowadays with apprenticeships. I feel nobody should be belittled or should earn an apprenticeship the way that I did. And nobody ever will here, mm-hmm. you know? But there is also we worked really hard to get where we're at. So when we see tattoo artists that just sneak in, you know, they learn how to tattoo in a couple months, it pisses us off, you know, because we had to work so hard to get where we're at.
Yeah, definitely. And you think there has been some of that transition away from those type of apprenticeships?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. I mean, women are still taken advantage of in this environment, not only getting tattooed, but as being a female working in a tattoo shop, if you let them, if you let the guys. I mean, and there are girls that are, that live off of giggling, you know, and that's how they get their job, you know, and that pisses me off, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So moving kind of backwards a little bit, what was your first tattoo?
Oh my gosh, this is so nerdy and awesome. So somebody's basement, right? My friend Jim had gotten a tattoo on his head, which is weird, like a yin yang. And all he could talk about was how bad it hurt. Like, and like an idiot, I'm like, I want one. Like, what? So of course it was like a big production, you know. And now it's just like, it is what it is. So it was a black lizard that I drew myself for Jim Morrison because, you know, I was a huge fan. Mm-hmm. Well, got it done in some guy's basement, you know, it was horrible. Went to another shop, got it redone, you know, still horrible, and now it's covered up. Yeah, so I don't have it anymore. But I was 15 when I got my first tattoo. Awkward experience. And I think this is what people, you know, kind of expect still today. The guy's basement was, like, covered with, like, naked chicks on Harleys and stuff, you know, and, like, Jack Daniels bottles around and stuff like that. So I think some people are still intimidated by tattoo shops because that's what they think they're going to get. And we definitely are not that type of shop.
Yeah, definitely. All.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been tattooed here as well. So,
yeah,
I mean,
so
it's definitely a different experience.
Yeah, we're not a bunch of tough guys. And, yeah, we're all equals, you know. Because there is that, and there always has been in this industry, a lot of ego and a lot of better than. And I'm not better than anybody else, you know. We're all equal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So after you moved from Iron Age in your apprenticeship, can you tell me a little bit about how you got your first job as a full-fledged tattoo artist? And how that came about, I guess I could say.
Okay, actually, the guy that I can't stand who owns Iron Age, I mean, like, don't put that in there, but I think most people feel the same way about him. He stood up for me. I couldn't believe it. So there were two business owners. One was business, one was art.
Yeah.
So the business side saw that I had a strong work ethic, you know. So he kept his mouth shut. He left me alone, you know, and he actually was very kind to me and awesome. He wasn't to everybody else. So I really admired that, and he respected me because I was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Now, the other owner, the art side, artist mentality, you know, was a whiny little baby. And it was, I'd always go in early, stay late, and when I would hear that door open and I knew that he was working that day, my stomach would just flip. What mood is he going to be in today? And how I left that shop, that's a great story. That's going to be really good, too. So, yeah, and that was back in the day where we were making needles. So I would go in early and I'd be making other people's needles. So he is actually the one that stood up for me. And so finally, after 2 years, I'm like, hey, guys, when can I get on the floor? Like, is this a thing? And he's like, yeah, either you guys are going to teach her to tattoo or I am. And that's when they bucked up. And everybody taught me a little bit. So I wasn't apprenticed under one specific person. It was just gaining knowledge from a little bit of everybody.
Mm-hmm. So before we move into, you know, how you left the shop, I'm more curious right now about how you've seen or what kind of changes took place in terms of, like, the technology of tattooing, things that you have seen personally. You said in terms of needles and other things like that.
There's been a lot of change, and for me, I don't like change. Nobody likes change, you know, and I'm a little weird and superstitious. Like, I had a hard time replacing the chair that I sit in because it was a buddy of mine who was part owner of this shop. It was his chair. And I was weirded out. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I throw this chair away, my tattoos are gonna suck. Like, you know? So I have a hard time trying out the new stuff. Machines have changed. There's rotaries now. They make no noise whatsoever. They're already tuned up for you. You don't have to tune them or anything. I've never used one, you know? Some of the guys use them. here, they love them. I just have never picked it up and used it, you know. And Bowie's always like setting in my station, you should really try it. I don't know why, maybe I should. And making needles, wow, that was very time consuming. And for me to change and to actually buy needles, it was like, they're gonna be more expensive. Like, it's, you know, it's more cost efficient if I make my own needles. And then finally I just gave up. I'm like, I don't have time, you know? So inks have also changed. There was a period where red ink was causing a lot of issues with people's skin. People were breaking out. They were putting plastic in the ink is what it was. And I don't know why it was specifically the red. But it's different companies. That's what I like to use. It's like certain companies have a better red, certain companies have a better blue, but inks have changed definitely. They're brighter, they go in a lot easier, but it's just kind of, you just have to try it out and see what you like. I'm trying to think if anything else has changed as far as technology. Well, computers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like I always did, you know, lettering is huge right now, and everything I always did by hand because that's how I was taught by my dad. That's how I was taught at Iron Age, you know. So that's changed, and within the past month, I just got an iPad, and I was so against it, you know. I'm like, but I have a drawing to do tonight, and I'm not mad. You know, because generally it takes forever for me to draw something, and for somebody to be last minute, hey, I'm going to take this appointment, this is what I want, I'd be like, there's my whole day off, you know, and I'm not mad. I'm like, wow, I get to draw tonight on my iPad. I'm kind of excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely. That has changed for me, and it's been very helpful.
Do you think now that you have seen that transition with technology and you being before that technology, or do you think you maybe have a little bit of an advantage over maybe some newer tattoo artists that have not been exposed to the other side before technology existed?
I personally do not. There are so many good tattoo artists out there right now that have been using this technology. I mean, you know, 5 to 6 years. My tattoos have not changed because of it. I'm still super slow. I wish my speed would pick up because, yeah, I'd make more money. But money is not a motivator for me. My clients are. That's the most important part of this job for me personally. So... time saving, yeah, that has changed and that's been very helpful. But as far as, well, yeah, I guess time saving, really, for me, that has been the most helpful part.
So I know there is, and you've brought it up yourself, but some stigma around tattoos and people, either tattoo shops or people with tattoos themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen some of that taking place within your experiences, whether inside a tattoo shop or outside?
Absolutely, more so back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
When I started getting tattooed, I would wear long sleeves everywhere. I didn't want people talking to me. People would give me the weirdest look. And it's, you know me now, right? And so for me to, this happened, for me to stand in line at a Target, have a parent pull their kid closer to them because I'm behind them and they think, you know, like, what am I gonna, and so now you know me. And you've talked to me, and you know I'm not that type of person. My buddy Ryan, I call him very crappy. You wouldn't imagine he'd have tattoos. He started going off on a friend of mine that had a face tattoo, or maybe it was somebody that had walked in. I don't know, but they had a face tattoo. And I go, Ryan, if you didn't know me, and you were just looking at me and judging me, would you think I was like a huge Satanist or something? He's like, probably. Now, today... if you don't have a tattoo, it's weird. Mm-hmm. And I don't get looks that often. And I think a lot of that was more mental for me. I had to say, hey, Gary, when you walk in a room, not everybody's not looking at you. That's kind of a selfish and egotistical thing to think. I look at people with tattoos, but for me, it's different. I look at the line work and I look at the quality. So it definitely has changed. Now it's not so much of an oddity, but now I think people, because of the shock value, now they are putting them on their face and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so you do see more hand, neck, face tattoos. And back in the day, we would never do that if you didn't have sleeves already, because it was kind of like you had to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, all right, if you want this stupid thing on the side of your neck, awesome. You know, so
yeah,
that
definitely
has changed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then moving back a little bit then from your transition, like I said, to your first tattoo job, mm-hmm. and then where was that again?
Iron Age.
At Iron Age, and then uh-huh. where did you move after that?
I went to All Star Tattoo.
You went to All Star. Can uh-huh. you tell me a little bit about your experience at All Star and where that was?
Okay, All Star is in St. Louis as well, Olive 170 area. Okay. Both of the owners of All Star also worked at Iron Age and absolutely hated it as well. Iron Age is very McDonald's. It's turn 'em and burn 'em. My bosses would constantly come in and say, how much time do you have? Time is money. They would say that in front of my clients. We hated it there. So I knew they were going to go open a shop. You know, they had left before I did. I was sticking around, you know, knew in my head I was going to leave. And then it came to a point where I had to leave. And my boyfriend at the time beat up the owner. And I missed every minute of it, which I would have loved to see, man. There were no windows on the and it happened out back. And he got what he deserved. He's an ass. He really is an ass. And it sucks that I miss that. But in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick around till the weekend and then tell him some, you know. But he made it very uncomfortable. So the day that I decided that I was going to leave, I said, hey, I got to talk to you guys. I had went in the Sunday before, packed up all my stuff so it would be a quick out, kind of set it aside so they didn't know. And he said, you need to wait till the business side of ownership comes in. So I had to work that entire day knowing I had to have this conversation with them. You know, they knew exactly what it was about. They knew what I was going to say. And they said, get out. So I was probably 10 minutes I got out of there. I was, Van Halen was on the radio. I was blaring it. I was like, life is so good. So then I went to All Star, and we basically built that from the ground up, which is pretty awesome. I learned how to lay tile, you know, stuff that I'd never done before. And we got a lot of our clients from Iron Age. But still, they're still attitude at that shop, you know. They put me in the front because they know I talk to people. And it is nicer to see, females are more approachable, you know, so it is nicer to see a female in front. Mm-hmm. But it just got to the point where I was doing everything, you know, and getting overwhelmed the attitude, there was still attitude, there was still better than, I don't work well in that environment, and maybe it's an insecurity thing, or it just ticks me off, really, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. So I worked there probably for about 4 years or so, 3 to 4 years.
And that was from when to when?
Oh, God, I don't know. Like, relative. Dates are so bad. Okay, so let's see. I don't know, it should be like 99. Oh, God. Man, I don't know. That'd be a rough one. I'm going to say 2012 is when I started there, roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, moving from Iron Age to All-Star,
mm-hmm.
and then through that, you've mentioned a lot about being a woman in mm-hmm. this profession. How has being a woman, how has that experience affected you personally?
As far as
being in the profession and from where you were to where you are now, if that makes sense.
Meaning how has that changed as women in the industry?
Mm-hmm. And in particular yourself as well. How has your role become...
Taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not to be an ass or egotistical, mm-hmm. but it's... I worked pretty hard, and people recognize that. So I feel like I've earned my way in. So I am proud of that. And it has gotten me an insane schedule where I'm booked 2 years out. And for me, the biggest trigger for me is getting overwhelmed, and that's what I can't do, you know? It's just like week by week. I see what I draw for that week. And I think the hardest part for me now is telling people, wait for a cancellation, wait for, because constantly I get like 5 texts a day, you got anything. And I can't be a dick, you know, I'm grateful that people want to get tattooed by me, but I don't have enough time, you know, if I could, I would. Mm-hmm. So trying to fit people in right now is probably the hardest part of my job. Besides that, I've got a great clientele. And I think I've really, with my personality, weaned out the assholes. And even the people that started off as assholes, now they respect me and realize, oh, she knows how to do her job. Maybe I should let her do it, you know? Mm-hmm. I just have one client like that now, and he's chilled out. And it's funny because I used to work for him. He was a chef. Yeah. And had that chef mentality, and now he's kind of chilled out. And so, yeah, I really have a great clientele, so that's what I've gained for sure. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the same experience happened to you at Iron Age, mm-hmm. Happen to other women in
no.
your profession?
Really? No. I have not. I've seen a lot of women with short skirts giggle their way to an apprenticeship and sleep with people. You know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, I have not seen. Yeah, there is. We do have a very rare jewel that works here. She is amazing, and she has earned everything. And she's not that type of person at all. Yeah,
and
it's like
it's
our piercer Miranda, and she's going to be tattooing soon. I will think of something that needs to be done, and she's doing it. You know, like I'm about to cry. Sorry, Matt. Like, she's getting married on Saturday too. Like, I'm so fortunate to have her in my life, and to actually, hey, there's a person like that. That's a female that still exists, and yeah, she's earned everything she's gotten.
That's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's very awesome. So then, speaking to Evermore, how did this come about? How did you get your job at Evermore?
The owner died in a drug-related accident. Actually, don't put that in there. He died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
The drug part, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put that in there. Mm-hmm. And when I was at the funeral and I saw his body, I just fell to my knees and just started bawling. So I went to the other owner of the shop, who is amazing and has done so much for me and put up with my shit for years, you know, mm-hmm. because I've pulled some shit. I really have. And he's seen past it. And I walked up to him and I said, I feel there's a reason. I said, I want to work at Evermore. I feel there's a reason I need to be there. And he's like, when can you start? That's how I got the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you become manager right away, or how did that work?
I did, which didn't work out too well because, you know, there's guys in the shop, and it was still back then, there was still a little bit of the stigma of a female. So he saw that, he already knew that I had a strong work ethic because he had come and visited me at All Star, and he wasn't even in the tattoo industry at that time. The owners of All Star were freaking pissed that he was in there watching me tattoo because they thought, oh, what is he stealing? You know, he ended up opening up successful shops. He's an amazing person, and that's how I look at the person. I look at the individual, you know. I'm not looking at the stories that you tell me about them. I look at how, and he's amazing. So I will never leave this shop because of him. I will follow him everywhere, and I will, yeah, he's done so much for me. I would never leave him stranded. Respect.
Definitely.
And he even says that there's no respect, there's no loyalty anymore, you know, because there's so many tattoo shops that we have a boss that's done everything for us, you know, that's, you know, he buys a lot of shop supplies that normally most shop owners don't. And then you have people that, you know, tattoo artists that just walk out, shit all over you, steal, you know. So that's part of this industry that sucks, but you get that in every industry, you know. So right now we've got a great crew. Very, very thankful.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Can you just tell me a little bit more about your experience in terms of managing Evermore? Maybe some of the difficulties or things that you have done or...
The shop really manages itself as long as you have great employees, you know. My job is to do everything so they don't have to do much. All they need to do is tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to make it so that's what it is. All they need to do is tattoo. So it's pretty easy, just ordering supplies. The hardest part is having to fire people.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss, you know, what he told me is like, Carrie, it's a business decision. Still, you know, it's hard. But there are some people that make it pretty easy. You know, like there's been some interesting experiences for sure. And where people make it easy. easy to fire them, but then hard. It's like, oh my gosh, you pulled all this shit. Now you're begging me for your job back and you're crying. It gets easier each time, you know. There was one time in particular, it was pretty hard. And actually, that was the first time I had to do it. And it's to my boss, I'm like, I can't believe you're making me do this. He goes, Carrie, I'm not there. He's like, you see everything. If it's coming out of my mouth, you know. So I had to buck up, you know. And it does. It gets easier each time. But right now, we've got a great crew. That was probably the hardest part. Another hard part is smoothing over angry clients. And we don't get that too often. And it's a lot easier when they get a woman on the other end of the phone or when they see a woman come up front, because then they start relaxing and kind of easing down. So it's still confrontation I'm horrible with. I sound like I'm crying when I'm angry. And I don't stop. My voice gets real shaky. So I'm not intimidating whatsoever. So usually I can kind of, you know, with my wits, smooth people over. So that's another hard part. Besides that would be it for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there any particular customer confrontation that you remember that you would be willing to share?
Yeah. When I was at All-Star, there was in St. Louis, you can sign for minors to get tattooed. There was a woman that brought her 14-year-old daughter in and wanted to get her 14-year-old daughter's boyfriend's name on the side of her neck. There was no confrontation there because there was no explaining to her why she was a bad parent, you know? But I do remember that. I do remember that. I also remember a girl coming into Iron Age that had a small swastika on her ankle and she wanted to get covered up. She said she had gotten it done when she was 12. And I said, oh my God, who would do this to you when you were 12? She said, my dad. Mm. So with this, you hear a lot of stories, you know, and I am part-time therapist, you know. Oh, here's a great confrontation. This is a good one. And this happens here. There was a guy here, and he came in very pleasant. It was super weird. He came in with, and I'm assuming both of his daughters. He signed for one. I'm not sure what type of piercing she was getting. It was something like ear or something like that. Busy Saturday. Shops filled. Filling out paperwork, you know, like copying IDs and all that stuff. She's back there. He just starts getting real. Wait, oh, he went to his car with his other daughter, then comes back and is just acting really weird where he starts pacing. When people start pacing, it makes me uncomfortable. You know, I'm like, something's up. So he comes up front when it came time to pay. The price was $40. I was tattooing at the time. The counter person said, Carrie, do we have receipts? And I was like, not really. I'm like, I can write something up. This guy wants a receipt for his piercing. So I come up front. I'm like, we don't have any receipts. I can, you know, just trying to ease him over. This is what I can do for you, basically. But he didn't want to hear that. Why is it $40? It took 5 minutes. So I started to explain, and he was so angry and crazy and out of his mind. Like, his daughters are crying. They're so embarrassed. So then I realized it's past the point. The guy doesn't care why it's $40. He just doesn't want to pay for this, you know? So his daughters are crying, and that's when I go, cool, dad. And I just started laughing because, I don't know, it's a funny YouTube video, but I was like, yeah, cool, dad, your kids are crying in front of all these people, you know? So as soon as he left, everybody applauded. They were like, that guy was such... And this is what he said as he left. I'm going to call the Better Business Bureau. Okay. What? So that was pretty entertaining. Yeah.
I can imagine you get something like that every once in a while.
We do, not too often. You know, we're not open late enough that we get a lot of the drunks, but definitely he was on something. And I'm always good at name that drug. I think he was on meth. But the thought of him going to his car with his daughter and coming back different, that freaked me out. I'm like, we're doing this in front of your kid, you know? Yeah, I see all sorts of things.
Speaking of coming in with people intoxicated, mm-hmm. Do you ever get any experience like that? I know the Stagger Inn's right across the street, and there's a couple other places around here, but
not too often. I am better with confrontation now and telling people what needs to happen. I mean, back in the day, I'd just be like, I'll just deal with it because I don't. Honestly, people that are drunk, it's... If you've drinking a lot the night before, your blood is going to be thin. If you're drinking 2 hours before, it'll be fine. They move, they don't realize what they're doing. They're just hard to deal with. They're just really obnoxious, and it takes forever to get a tattoo done. We don't get too much of that. We did have St. Patrick's Day here. We saw this guy, he had a pair of overalls on. He kept coming back in, Is it my time yet? So it must have been on a Saturday. It must have been a walk-in day. He had filled out paperwork, and we saw him. He would go across the street, stand outside with his green beer, come back like even more intoxicated. So we were just having fun with it at that time. I filled out paperwork and everything. We're like, our counter guy was going through everything ridiculously, like stickers and business cards. It's like, I don't see your paperwork anywhere, you know? So we were having fun with that one, but it's never gotten, we've never gotten like angry people or anything like that. Iron Age, oh my gosh, every night. Yeah, that was, and I didn't have to deal with that because we had counter people that dealt with that. And in Iron Age, the rooms were more private, so I didn't see a whole lot of that. It was just more, I heard a lot of it.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, I can see that being a bit of an issue sometimes, especially down in the loop.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And then a lot of people at Iron Age just wanted to see what it's all about. Yeah, and the worst people, and it's so funny because being a counter person, then I'd be like, hey, there's a tattoo waiting for you guys. I'm not going to do it because they were rich yuppies. The owner would not tattoo rich yuppies. I'm like, what? Like, what? This is ridiculous. So, yeah, artist mentality and dealing with babies. Yeah.
Because this is a small business, is there any difficulties that you guys run into that you would be willing to share?
Oh, yeah, when we first opened up, especially being in, I want to say at this location, our old location, nobody could ever find us. We weren't allowed to put a sign out.
And where was that?
That was right next to Goshen.
Okay.
So when we got the spot, we knew we needed a bigger spot. We knew we needed, and our business each year has gotten better, being on the corner, and I think just being nice, you know. But yeah, when we first moved in here, they asked us, can you please close all your blinds? A cop came in, and he was embarrassed that he had to tell us this. Nobody wants to see what's going on in there. We're having complaints that you're tattooing people naked, and they're walking around the shop like that. I could see, like, hey, we're doing a chest tattoo and a guy's got his shirt off, but nobody's running around here naked, you know? So, yeah, then we just kind of forgot about it. We smoke out back, and I think I'm the only smoker left, which is horrible. I need to quit. So we're not standing out front like a bunch of juggalos, you know? We're a respectful shop. The town knows us. We're respectful to every business in this town. Yeah, I think that's what it all comes down to, is just being a honest, decent business. And we don't think about it now. Our blinds are open. We have not had a complaint since. And we do tattoo, I want to say, like 70% of our clientele is military or first responders. Right.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to ask in terms of, like, your clientele. Mm-hmm. Who were, I guarantee there's, you know, quite a variety, but who would say are, you know, the general majority of people who come in and get tattooed here?
Women.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of women. Working class, a lot of working class. College students more so for piercing and smaller tattoos, but that's not a huge amount of our business. I would say working class would be the biggest amount of our business.
Mm-hmm. What kind of tattoos, or is it all over the place?
Oh, God, being in Illinois, it's a lot of, it was Browning symbol was the hot one for a while, a lot of deers, a lot of, Cole gets to do a lot of that work because he does photorealistic, and that's the type of style that working class generally gets. So he's doing a lot of deer. He's doing a lot of American flags. What else does Cole do a lot of?
Hourglasses, clocks, lady faces.
Oh, tiger heads. Lion heads.
Bears.
Maps. Yeah. But a lot of American flags.
Yes. Really?
I mean, he's probably has an American flag a week. Oh, eagle. You got to throw an eagle in there. Yeah.
Definitely.
Sorry.
So you said there are some students here, and you said the students, do you get a lot of SIUB students coming in? Or?
We do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it, so would you say, I don't know, if you could give somewhat of like a percentage or something like that, would you say your clientele is generally?
I'd say 50%.
Really?
Yeah. I think that we treat people better than most of the shops around here. I'm not talking shit on the shops around here. They all do great work. But we're nice to everybody. We're not going to push any business out the door, you know, because a lot of them, they're like, it's that better than, I'm too good to do Infinity Knot kind of thing. And we're not like that. We'll take it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned the other shops opening up here on Main Street and in Edwardsville. Has that done anything to your business?
No.
Or do you guys have any type of relationship at all?
I do. They've always been great to me. Well, I've always been great to them. If I've ever needed anything, I've had to ask, you know, and it sucked and it was humiliating, but they were, in the beginning they weren't quite as friendly, but then, you know, smoothed them over, and yeah, we're on great terms, and if I ever need anything or ever have any questions, I'll go right to them, and I think that's better. For us, we don't talk shit on them. They do great work, and it would look bad if we talked shit on them. There was a shop that did open up on Main Street. We were not worried about it all, you know, just because of his demeanor and because of his attitude. We're like, this guy's not going to last at all. And it didn't. He did not last.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I have done a little bit of, you know, preliminary research and have seen that you have partnered up with organizations like Got Your Six, mm-hmm. and worked on fundraisers and stuff like that. Can you tell me a little bit about how that came about? And
We get a lot of people coming in here. I mean, like, their kid has a cold. They want a gift card, you know. So it's like you kind of have to wean that stuff out, or else we're just giving everything away. So it was a busy day. My now friend Heather comes in. And she's like, hey, Carrie, somebody wants to talk to you. And I'm putting a stencil on it in my head. And this is, it gets me every time. I'm bad at judging people. And then they always smooth me. And I'm like, that's what you get for judging people. You shouldn't do that. I'm like, great, you know. I go, give her a $25 gift card. Actually, she wants to talk to you. And in my head, I'm like, God, I don't have time for this, whatever, you know. So when she told me what the cause was for, I am the type of person, when I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it, you know. So I said, let me talk this over with my boss. You know, she had asked if we could give anything, really, you know. So when she told me what it was about, when she told me it was about PTSD, I had been diagnosed with PTSD. At the time, I was dating somebody that had PTSD. To see a 250-pound man that was in the Air Force and him finally telling me what he had to do, bawling, and you can't help him. It was so hard, because I want to help everybody, you know. So when she told me what it was about, I was like, I'm on it. So she's good. She's like, all right, I'll call back Monday. And I hadn't talked to my boss then. And so I told him what it was about, and I asked for a Saturday, you know, which is, it's rough. That's a lot of money he's giving up, you know, for a Saturday. Do it. So I said, how about we'll pick this Saturday. 100% of profits go to Got Your Six. She started crying. She's like, oh my God, Carrie, I was thinking like 20%. So now we do it every year, and the line is around the block, you know. And it's selfishly, that's not the reason why I did it, you know. I'm not doing it to get more business here, but it has brought more business here, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And now that's been a part of my life too. So I'm a part of that organization. And trying not to get overwhelmed, but I'll do anything to help them, man, because they're really helping a lot of people. These dogs are amazing what they can do. It's unbelievable.
Definitely, yeah. It's I did some research, and I mean it seems like a very, very good cause.
Oh, they're great, yes.
Definitely. And I looked, there's training and other things you can do to get your dog involved.
Yes.
That was really, really cool.
And that I leave to them. And I hate when people say anybody can train a dog, because that is not true whatsoever. I went to one class and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna leave it to them. So it's like, what do you guys need? I'm a money hustler, and so that's how I got into that organization.
Is there any other partnerships you have gone about doing with either another organization like that, for instance, or partnership with another local business, say like Cleveland Heath or anything like that around Edwardsville?
Well, with Got Your Six, we do use a lot of the local businesses, but as far as other organizations, no. Personally, I do go speak to women that have suffered from sexual and just like that have PTSD as well. So mm-hmm. I personally go and speak at certain places. But as far as us as a shop with other organizations, no. My boss does own another shop. in Centralia, he also owns a coffee shop right next door.
Really?
So that's his part. And then he'll do everything to support us and Got Your Six, because we do everything to support him, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So being here, you said you've been here for how long again?
Oh, God. How long do you think I've been here? 8 years or 10?
I've been here 14 years.
I've been here 14 years?
14, yeah. I started right after you, and I've been here 13.
Fuck.
2006.
God, I can't believe I've been even tattooing that long. I feel like I've only been tattooing 20 years is a long time. I've been tattooing longer than that.
Wow.
I mean,
you had all started, and everything was ironed.
Yeah, that's where when you're like dates, I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. Crazy.
So since you've been here for so long, you've probably observed some of the, you know, rise and fall of other businesses going on. And has that, because Edwardsville has, you know, kind of been rising a little bit as of recently, has that had any growth in your guys' business since you've been here? Have you seen that? Or how has, you know, Main Street kind of changed?
Yes, yeah. I've seen a growth in business, but I personally think it's because it's who we are. I also think the location helps too. Being right on the corner, you know, people are at the intersection, they're forced to look, you know. And also, word of mouth is the best advertisement. We don't do a whole lot of promotion social media wise or anything like that. Word of mouth has been our best promotion. But yeah, business has gotten better each year, for sure.
Definitely. All right, well, is there anything else you would like to share with me today?
No, I guess that's it. I mean, I'm truly grateful to be where I am today. But being a woman in this industry was very hard. It was very hard. Not so much today, but I'm truly grateful to be where I'm at. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Well, I do have one last question for you.
Yeah,
What would you say one of your favorite things to tattoo is? Or kind of
flowers.
Tattoo?
Flowers. That's the first thing that came to my mind, so I'm just going to say I love doing girly stuff, and I love doing bright colors, so flowers. And so this lady today that I've got to draw for, she's like, do what you want. I'm drawing a flower, you know? Yeah, I love doing flowers.
And is there any like specific tattoo that you can think of that you've done that it has been your favorite or one of your favorites or particularly doing?
I would say Dr. Doom tattoo. A lot of people see that. A lot of people love it. And I think it's just the size of it. It's just it's intense, and I'm pretty proud of it. That poor kid, man.
Where was it located?
It's a back piece.
Oh, it's a back piece.
Yeah. So I think just because of the size, you know, and just the subject matter, that's probably the first thing that pops to my head. It's probably one of my favorites.
Well, thank you very much. It was
absolutely
wonderful interview today. Thank you for doing this with me. I really appreciate it.